Episode 1, The Birth of Nina Wushu by Isaac Murdoch. When I was growing up, from as long as I can remember, I heard my elders speak about Nina Wushu. Whenever the elders saw a whirlwind, they would often say, "There is Nina Wushu." Or they would say, "Nina Wushu is in that rock over there hiding." Or they would see a rabbit. "Oh, there's Nina Wushu." Or they would see something really spectacular. Maybe a bird they never saw before. Or a pure white animal and say, "Oh, there's Nina Wushu." I started to think, who is this Nina Wushu? To me, he sounded almost like God or the creator, or someone very spiritual and strong. I started to ask questions about who Nina Wushu was. My dad had some stories. My grandparents had stories. The elders had stories. And I started to realize that all these stories are all just the parts of a bigger story. There's a bigger story that needs to be told about Nina Wushu. And it's coded in the land. It's a story about the place names and the names of everything and the reason why places or animals or objects carry the names they do. Nina Wushu stories are all connected. Many seem not to have any ending, and the next ones appear to pick up where the last ones left off. Each Nina Wushu story is just a piece in a large puzzle. I'm not qualified to tell this grand story about Nina Wushu, of course. But today I'd like to give you a little insight about what I know about Nina Wushu that I've heard from my elders. The elders say Nina Wushu often comes in human form as a very striking young warrior. He is very gifted and handsome. He looks real deadly in buckskin. They say that his arrows were perfectly straight and that these arrows could go right to the end of the earth if they had to kill his enemy. So all of these things I heard started to excite me. What I also found out was that Nina Wushu came from very humble beginnings. He came from, I guess you could say, a broken home. The story of Nina Wushu all begins with his grandmother. They say Nina Wushu's grandmother, Nokomis, lived on the moon, and the moon herself was Nokomis's grandmother. Nokomis lived there with her sisters on her grandmother. And like sisters do, sometimes they fight over silly things. They say Nokomis and her sisters were fighting over a hairpiece, and then one sister threw Nokomis off the moon. She hurled and twirled as she fell all the way down until she hit the earth, and she landed in a lake and sank to the bottom. She sat at the bottom of the lake pouting and thinking about everything. She was so mad at her sister for what she had done just over a hairpiece. Somebody watched her fall from the moon down into the lake and was watching as she sat on the bottom pouting. It was a big old bear. The bear was sitting on a rock and he saw everything. But you know how bears are. They are quiet. They just sit there and watch. After that bear had sat there for many days, eating his berries and thinking about that beautiful woman at the bottom of the lake, he swam into the lake, putting his head down, looking for that woman. Bears are excellent swimmers. Finally, he spotted her in the deepest part of the lake, and he asked Nokomis, Why don't you come up here? Oh, I'm not going up there, she said. When I hit the water, my medicine bag opened and all my medicine is at the bottom of the lake. I'm not going up there without my medicine. Well, of course, that bear felt sorry for her. So he kept bugging her. Every day he would go back. Why don't you come up here with me? It's nice and warm up here. It's sunny. It's so dark down there. There's a lot of bad spirits down there that will get you. You should come up here with me. And after a while, that must have sounded pretty inviting, because they say she swam to the top of the lake and crawled on that bear's back. The bear told her, "Don't worry, maybe one day you will get your medicine back. Don't worry about it." They went to the west side of the lake. They built a beautiful wigwam. The wigwam was like two teepees, but connected, so it looked like a long teepee. There was spruce hanging all the way around and beautiful cedar mats. And two fires were lit at either end. Everything was beautiful. Everything was perfect. And that's where they lived. And you know what? They fell in love. They fell in love and they didn't marry, because at that time, when you fell in love with someone, you just shacked up with them. So that's what they did. They shacked up in this beautiful wigwam. Before long, just shortly after, she started to feel something in her belly. She was pregnant. They were going to have a little baby. But something was very different about this. It wasn't just a regular pregnancy. They say that the baby grew very fast, very quickly. Her belly was starting to get very, very big, and you could hear thunder and lightning crashing inside. They knew that whatever was in her belly was very powerful. Nokomis didn't know what was going to happen when she gave birth. They say it was a very beautiful afternoon when she started to have her baby. She gave birth to a tiny little girl, and Nokomis named her Winona. The baby was part spirit and part bear, which is also like a spirit. So even though the baby looked like a regular baby, she was very, very powerful. The baby grew up quickly and was incredibly beautiful. She grew up to be a very outstanding woman and a hard worker. Her mom put her out to fast every year, starting when she was 10 years old until she was 19. For 9 years, she put her daughter out to fast for 10 days. After her last fast, they knew it was time for her daughter to go and find a husband. Back then, animals and humans could be together. And they say that because she was so beautiful, everyone wanted to be with her. But of course, the one that won her over, they say, was probably the meanest one. It was the Wild West Wind who stole her heart. When they got together, her mom didn't like that at all. Her mom said the West Wind was mean and that he would be nice in the beginning. But after a while, she said, he's probably going to start beating you up. And of course, the more her mom tried to dissuade her, the more Winona didn't believe her and wanted to be with the West Wind, because he was very powerful as well. And many powers come from the West. Winona shacked up with the West Wind. And shortly after, he started to become violent to her and beat her up, just as her mother had warned. When Winona became pregnant, the West Wind left her. As her belly got big, the same thing that happened to her mother began to happen to her. Thunder and lightning was crashing in her belly. Then, as she was giving birth, something else was happening too. The waters along the shoreline began to bubble. The serpents and those beings that live underneath were very scared of what was in her belly. They were scared of that power, and they didn't like it because the serpent's power that comes from below was naturally in conflict with the power that comes from up above from the west. Winona just didn't have one baby. She had four. They say the first baby that came out was a baby rabbit. It was the most powerful of all babies. Nokomis took that little baby rabbit that wasn't even developed yet over to the wigwam. She put dry grass on top of the baby to keep it warm, and then put a bowl on top of the baby to keep it safe. Meanwhile, as Nokomis was tending to the first baby in the wigwam, Winona gave birth to her other three babies. This all happened very quickly. The second baby to come was half human and half rabbit. He was eventually named Jigabayobus. The baby hopped away as soon as it was born. The third baby to be born was a tiny little human-looking baby, and they say that the lightning was shooting out of that baby's mouth and thunder would crash every time it cried. The third baby also took off running. Later on, we find out that this brother comes back to live with Nina Wuju when he was a child for a short time. The fourth and the last of Winona's babies was a very difficult birth because this baby was made of rock. This baby was not a smooth stone, but had sharp and jagged edges. Sadly, Winona passed away giving birth to the last baby. And again, this baby rock, upon being born, rolled away. All of this happened so quickly that by the time Nokomis returned to Winona, she found her daughter had passed away and there were no other babies to be found. This is why Nina Wuju was the only grandchild Nokomis had raised. That is how they say Nina Wuju and his brothers came to this world. The baby who had turned into the rabbit under the cedar bowl was Nina Wuju. And so we know that his power is the west wind because that's who his dad is. We know that he also gets his powers from the stars because that's where his family comes from. We know that his grandpa was that old bear, so Nina Wuju had his place on this earth too. And it's where he got his gift of medicines from. And because all of those powers were combined in him, it made a hell of a person. It made a very strong person. Nina Wuju grew up with his grandmother Nokomis, and she always put him out too fast. As soon as he was old enough, they grabbed cedar coal and rubbed it all over his face and sent him to the mountain. He'd stay there for a long time until he got his gift that he was waiting for. That's where he got the gift of his arrows that he was so famous for. He got all his gifts from those fasts. Fasting is what his mom Winona went through. It's probably what his grandma went through. And that's what he had to go through. So when he was growing up, he grew up very, very strong. And like most people, when they have a really special gift, they test it. And maybe they even abuse it a little bit. That's how he was too. When Nina Wuju was a young man, he asked his grandmother, "How come I've only seen my one brother? Where did the others go? Why are there no people?" Nokomis told him that Windigo had turned all the people into trees, so Nina Wuju went to find Windigo and kill him, which he eventually did, and then turned the trees back to humans. They said that because he had such a strong power, he would go on the warpath and he would come back with many enemy captives. His grandmother would ask him, "Why are you doing that? How come you are on the warpath all the time? Those are your nephews, don't bother them." And she scolded him, as she often did. Nina Wuju replied, I wish I had a mum to raise me. And the old lady looked at him and said, I tried my best, but something happened to your mum. And she told him the story of how his mum passed away because he didn't know. This infuriated him because he knew that he lost his mum to that last brother born as a jagged stone. He wanted to go find him. That anger lived inside of him, and he decided to go look for his brother to kill him. This is when Ninavuju went on a long journey to find his brothers and his dad.